I've been very impressed that Naboo has kept his new collar.
Our cat's name is Naboo.
Yeah, our cat's name is Naboo after the shaman in the Mighty Boosh.
Yeah.
And also the planet in
Star Wars. No, not the planet. That's not what we agreed on.
Well, it is for me. It's a double meaning for me. But no, for you, it's just...
It's Naboo from the Mighty Boosh. It's not like the planet.
You spell it
Naboo
the same way.
But I didn't agree on that. I feel like this is what you will do if we have a kid and we decide to name him after like a character that happens to have two. You'll be like, yeah, it's a double thing.
Yeah, his name is Kakarot.
No, it's Goku.
But yeah, I've been very impressed with Naboo. He's been able to keep his collar for like a whole 2 weeks at least.
Yeah,
and
good boy.
Our cat has not had a collar probably for 4 years or something close
more than
to that
probably since he was a kitten.
He just threw them off every time. You just throw them off. And then once, like probably a few years ago, I was like, fine, you know what, I'm getting worried because you go out for long periods of time
in the summer. Yeah,
I'm gonna get you a collar that has, you know, got a metal thing on it with your name engraved in it and my fucking mobile number on there and everything. So like, you know, you're locked in, mate. There's no way that that's gonna like rub off or, you know, the anything like that. He had his information on him and I felt better. And it was the cutest little bow tie thingy ever. It was a little collar that was also a bow tie. And he looked adorable
in
it.
He looked so dapper.
And I think we made too much of a fuss of him over it. And
he
ran out of the house immediately after having it on for like an afternoon. And then just disposed of it and came home again. And that was like, because I got it personalized for him and tried to get all the information on it in a way that was permanent. Like, it wasn't a cheap collar. It was like nearly 20 quid or something. So then I vowed to never buy him a collar again. And then I got really high a few weeks ago and saw
a
new advert with another cat and his cute bow tie collar. And was just like, come on then. Let's try it one more time. And he's actually kept it. He's kept it for two weeks.
He's been good. He's been going out like a lot more because the sun is like shining in England.
This is our early summer.
Yeah.
There will be no summer. It will be raining.
It's been kind of like bipolar lately. Like there's been rain and stuff. But then we've had these like fucking gorgeous days that literally feel like you're in Spain.
Yeah. Like I think there's supposed to be some sort of heat wave happening again this
year.
Bring
it on. I fucking love it. It's been great to see everyone like outside smiling, happy after 2 years of like being in lockdown. And I'm feeling it too. Like I don't want to do any work. I don't want anyone to bother me. I just want to like dance and like take pills and lose myself in like Dionysian oblivion. Like it's been 2 years of like all this like uncertainty and restrictions and bullshit, and like seeing everyone out has just been so fucking nice. Like it's been so good.
It has been nice to see everyone out. I am not cheering on a heat wave though, because we do not have the infrastructure in this country to deal with tremendous heat.
Who cares?
And it becomes like ridiculous. It becomes stupid where like you don't even want to turn the oven on in your fucking house or your flat, because
I think most like Americans would laugh at that, because like the heat we get here is like summer's day for them.
Okay, but like, then you have all your buildings have AC in America. Even the places that aren't especially hot, I think, have AC.
Yeah.
Because they use them as room temperature
controllers
or whatever,
so they
heat
fancy,
as well.
Like,
yeah,
robot shit.
But because we have such mild climate in England,
and we also have
old
fucking houses in
London.
And
very old houses, as well, exactly.
We still have radiators and shit.
Like, that shit's just not going to work.
No.
So, like, it gets hot, open the window. That's put a mechanical fan on or something.
My
like
mom
an electric
gave us
fan.
An AC unit though.
Yeah, but that's like an industrial office fucking AC unit. I'll be paying 100 quid a minute to fucking power that thing. Especially with the fucking prices.
It's just like
as
annoying. It's like in the corner of the room, just like taking. It was a nice gesture, but it was kind of like useless.
It was, but I also can imagine that maybe someone was trying to get rid of it, and like,
she just like uploaded, you know,
they
it
were
onto
able to, and it's just sort of lived in the corner of the room. For
I
want to
get rid of it. It's like
years.
Really annoying. It's like really ominous and looks like it's from the 90s as well.
It does. It looks like a prop from Space Odyssey or something.
Yeah, we should just like throw a fucking towel over it or something, or like a nice tapestry to give it like a vibe, and like put a plant on it or something.
That's your solution to everything.
It's like throw like some hippie rug on it
and chuck a plant near it or
yeah,
on it.
That's how you fix things. That's how you hide mess.
That's how you fix the vibe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad though, because it's been horrible over the last 2 years, but now like they're talking about fucking like monkeypox, and I feel like I'm like in a Junji Ito like graphic novel, just like horror after horror, and like pictures of people with like fucking cancus boils on their skin. And it's like, what the fuck's going on?
Mate, it's just a crisis, crisis central on planet Earth right now, isn't it?
I just can't be bothered anymore. Like it's I said, like, I don't want to think.
This crisis this week is...
Monkeypox.
Monkeypox.
It's like someone's pulling it out of a fucking hat. Just like a hat of horrors.
And like you'll be flicking through the articles like on the news app or something, and it will literally go, remember, we're not over the pandemic yet. COVID's still a thing. And then the next headline from another publication or something is like, just found monkeypox. You're just like, are you shitting me? I'm not even clicking on that fucking article.
It's really, really annoying. It's like
all the ones with crazy names, though. They're always like the stupid ones.
Well, you don't
they?
Know. It's like we're like living in a monster like... of the week anime at the moment. So like any old horror could just like...
No, because
pop
it is. It's like all
the
ones that
vibe.
All the ones that had like medical, proper medical sounding names, like SARS
COVID,
or Ebola,
or
fucking
AIDS.
Yeah, COVID or whatever.
Yeah,
AIDS. They will have like
HIV
or whatever. They have like a medical name for it. Mm-hmm. So like actually, it like and its impact was substantiate like
but
substantial.
But then the ones that have animal names,
the
like
ones that have animal
flu,
names, yeah, are all fucking jokes.
Pox.
They're all fucking media.
No, but chickenpox is real shit, though.
Chickenpox is that's not in the same category. That's like something everybody gets when they're young.
Mine was brutal. I had a really rough time.
That's
when
not
I had
the same.
Pox.
That's not the same. Bird flu, swine flu, now monkeypox. It's like
do
it's all the
still
ones with animals.
Pox?
It's all bullshit. Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Do kids still get chickenpox?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that still a thing, or have they got some fancy like vaccine for it now?
No,
because I remember
think it's
when I was
like
little.
A part of, it's a natural part of your body's immune
have
system
your nieces
or something.
And nephews had?
I might be completely pulling this out of my ass, but I do seem to remember reading, which is why you get it. It's not like that's why you don't get it as an adult, or if you did get it as an adult, it's because something
like
very
shingles.
Infectious and weird
yeah,
is like
or
around you.
Yeah,
it's not like a normal thing.
But like
to get
when I had it like pretty young, like because
yeah,
my mom
do.
Had like chicken pox party where all the babies would like hang out so that they would catch it. But then my friend Anna, when we were in boarding school, we were like 11 or 12, and she got it then. And because we were like in boarding school, there was like a medical unit on campus called like the SAN. And they just like kept her there for like a whole month. And I remember I bought her like a Game Boy. We had to bring her video games, like a Game Boy Advance to like entertain herself.
Oh, man.
And she was like in isolation in this like depressing place watching Aladdin over and over again or whatever like shit Disney movie they had for like a whole month.
She wore out the VHS.
Literally wore out. And they had like a Sega in there as well. I'm showing my age. Yeah, they had like a Sega in there, but it was that shit was antiquated even for us.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say it was. That's like old school.
It was
like
old school, but it's because like they didn't bother updating any of the entertainment shit in the medical facility since like 1992 or some shit.
Yeah,
when like before we were born, and yeah, it was like really rough. So I'm glad I got it when I was like really young.
But it's more dangerous when you get it. The older you get,
yeah,
which is why they do that stuff like chickenpox parties and shit when you're little.
But there's been two cases that I've heard of so far. They found one case in the UK. Dun dun dun! Scary, scary.
Of what? Monkeypox.
Yeah. And then they found another case in the US as well.
Yeah.
Which is like why everybody's like freaking out.
What is it?
I don't really know what it is. It just looks brutal. It looks like some Cronenberg body horror shit.
Fucking psyop, man. It's like, it's so, like, they're not even trying anymore. Like, and they don't even need to because, like, you put some fucking picture of some fucking horrible looking shit on you. That could be lots of different things.
Oh my, I don't know.
And then, like,
fucking
be like, oh, there's been two people in the West that have actually contracted this recently.
But that was, like, literally what I thought. That's what most people thought about COVID. Like, when I first heard about.
No, because you read about
COVID.
Like, you read about a lot of. You read about all that stuff happening in China, like, in November or December
and
stuff.
Yeah, but then it was still, like, a slow burn. Because I remember when we first heard about it, I was just like, oh, this is another H1N1 situation. A few people are probably going to get sick and recover and we'll be fine. It's like being blown out of proportion, and next thing you know, they're locking down the whole world. So it's like I never take anything for granted, not because I don't believe that there's like fucking machinations going on at play. Like, I do believe that, but because, like, you never know what the world will be shut down for these days, or what could, like, drastically change the course of our existence. And
that's,
yeah, with
true.
All this illness shit, like, and diseases, like, that's some existential horror shit. And I don't know, I've been reading a lot of Junji Ito shit recently, and, like, I don't know, there's something about body horror that, like, really fucks with me. I just can't deal with it.
I was really looking forward to watching the new Cronenberg movie, because it looks all sci-fi and brutal.
I
want to
watch it,
trippy.
But I really struggle with body horror, because it really fucks with me. I just can't do it.
Yeah, we still haven't watched The Thing, because you can't get past the first, like, weird.
When all the dogs
dog,
are, like, mutating,
the
and they're, like, one massive dog thing that's, like, writhing around. Like, I can't watch that. That's horrible. I'm sensitive. It
cinema.
Really messes me. I can't, like, I can do all kinds of other horror. Like, I can do supernatural. I could even do slasher and all that stuff. Like, gore to an extent.
You ever watched Saw?
No, I can't do, like, serious gore like Saw.
So what
can't.
Sort of gore are you talking about then? Because there isn't really a middle ground in movies.
Like, Halloween, like, stabbing stuff doesn't, like, freak
me out.
No,
but you don't even see, you don't
or, like,
even,
cartoonish
like...
cartoonish horror where people are getting chopped apart. Like, that doesn't... But when it's, like, visceral horror, fuck that shit. No, thank you. And body horror, where it has to do with people morphing and mutating and, like, scary concepts that have to do with, like, diseases. I can't fucking do it. It freaks me out. I really can't do it. And, like, even the scene in Akira where Tetsuo, like, more
Tetsuo!
Yeah, I saw that shit when I was way too young to see it because of my brothers, and that fucked with me really badly. And then that one scene in that Junji Ito, the one with the oil, the guy who, like, drinks oil and, like, gets all these pimples,
yeah,
and he, like, pins that girl down and, like, squeezes out his pimple shit on, like, I feel sick. Like, I can't. Like, I'm haunted. I'm fully haunted by that fucking panel. And, like, it literally makes me not... I'm probably not going to be able to sleep tonight now that I'm talking about it. Like,
yeah, I don't think there's a anime of that. Oh, well, there might be.
There
I
is.
Don't know. I haven't seen it.
There is. But... It was a couple of years ago. There was a Junji Ito, like, anime series that was released, but it's not very good. It's kind of shit, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. It's a very famous manga panel that... circulated the internet like a long time ago.
It's so grim,
and it is definitely one of those ones. But there are like those animes or those mangas that like that are just that tier, you know, of like weirdness and like what
horror.
The fuck is going
but
on?
But it's
here,
like
man?
Parallels the real world now. Like everything feels like that. Everything feels like you're like in some weird comic book shop, and you've stumbled upon like the weird Japanese section, and you've opened up. Some apocalyptic horror novel, and like everything's spiraling out of control. But that's the exact reason why I'm like in hedonism mode right now, because I'm like, it's the only way to respond to any of this shit. Like,
yeah,
the sun is shining and we don't know what tomorrow holds, so you better fucking enjoy the shit out of like the now and do as much as possible and like love as hard as possible. Like, I know this probably sounds really paranoiac, but I don't know. I probably am traumatized from the last 2 years.
Yeah, of
and
course.
There is that
and it
part
doesn't
of me
help
that still...
you're, like, easing into this fucking crazy fucking proxy war shit.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, on the precipice of fucking World War III.
Yeah.
All sorts of crazy shit happening on, like, a daily basis. That's why when I saw the fucking monkeypox thing, it was just like...
Fucking
swipe. I'm just, that's not even a thing. Fuck
and I never
off.
Ever thought as a kid that I would ever be one of those adults that like watches the news and gets like really stressed about it or whatever.
No.
Like, but I feel like everyone's becoming that now.
Like, at the same time, like, the political conversation in this country is the most inane, ridiculous thing ever at the moment, because it's constant bickering over whether. fucking Boris Johnson should receive more fines for drinking beers in Parliament and COVID or some bollocks versus like if Keir Starmer should be investigated for having a beer with his curry whilst he was out and about with Labour or so. It's literally just like, dude,
we are literally,
there's crisis upon crisis upon crisis upon crisis, and all you lot can fucking think and talk about at the moment is who had beers and who should pay £150 fines or not.
One of our politicians was like watching porn as well, was caught watching porn in the House of Commons. That was hilarious. A good story. And then also one just got carted off by the police for being a nonce as well, a Tory politician.
That person's name hasn't been disclosed yet, but the oh my god, the porn one was so funny, dude. It was like the most British fucking story. It's literally straight out of the thick of it. It's so stupid. Like, this conservative MP for Devon and like the West Country, like, you know, fucking where there's lots of farmland, was like apparently searching for a tractor that's very good, that's very renowned in the farming industry to be a good tractor, called the Dominator Max. And so the first time he misclicked on the link in the middle of the House of Commons, when everyone's like talking about fucking laws and shit and debating subjects and whatever, he's there researching tractors, which was already debatably a shit thing to do when you're a paid fucking MP. He then clicked on misclicked on a porn link for like full on BDSM shit. And then he got caught looking at it again. And then he admitted, it's like, the second time was not a mistake.
The first time wasn't either.
Time clearly wasn't either.
No, obviously. But it was just like
the fact that he was just like, I can't really get away with it being an accident twice. So I do need to at least admit to the second one. It's just like, Jesus, man.
Well, so his thing is like BDSM.
Yeah. And he's like
a farmer
Tory from the West Country. Yeah.
That's
which is so the funniest
fucking
thing.
Hilarious. It's,
oh, mate.
Oh, my God.
Like, ooh-ar. Give me gimp mask.
Well, like the whole.
Oh my Stick god. It up me arse.
Oh my god, that's so
It'd
funny.
Be so
Wait,
funny.
But like the whole thing about like the whole rumor about the Welsh, the like mean like urban legend, is that they shag sheep because they like are like farmers and stuff. But apparently not. Apparently they're into fucking domination and BDSM instead.
Well, you know, some people like to be charitable and be like, you know, he's researching these tractors for his constituents.
For his constituents.
They were,
because they
know.
Like to do BDSM with the sheep. That's why. No offense to any of our like Welsh listeners, to our like three Welsh listeners.
That's been like the course of like the political fucking shit in this country. It's actually abysmal and makes you super fucking
demoralizing. And
yeah, it's just like, what everybody realizes that it doesn't matter, surely. No. Like, if they're literally taking up so much time with all of this nonsense, clearly it doesn't fucking matter. Yeah. And they're not even the ones doing anything anyway.
It's bullshit. I mean, even in America, fucking Bernie Sanders just voted yes on the new bill that's going to send, like, I think it's a huge amount of money. I forget the amount of money, but it's a very massive amount of money to Ukraine, basically, for the Ukraine effort. It's like the Biden administration's like package. And basically every left politician, quote unquote left politician, has voted yes to this bill. So that's the state of the American quote unquote left at the moment.
Has he done a Noam Chomsky and
a Goom Chumpy? We call him Goom Chumpy on this podcast.
Around these parts,
we
he's
don't
Goom
call
Chumpy.
Him Noam Chumpy.
Noam Chumpy.
Goom Chumpy. They are doing elder abuse. That's my theory. They like have drugged him with some like MK Ultra drug, and they like make him say like bullshit. That's
he's,
like
how old is but he's in his 70s or something at least.
No,
isn't
more
he?
Than that.
He's in his 80s.
More than that, probably.
He's not in his 90s.
He
come
looks
on
like
now.
He's, I'm no, pretty he doesn't sure. Look he's
that
like
bad.
90. Have you seen Goom Chumpy?
No, Noam Chomsky looks terrible. I was saying Bernie Sanders.
Oh, Bernie
Sanders is like in his 70s or
something,
right? Or his 60s.
Like yeah, 70s probably. 70s. Yeah. You think they've scrambled him up like Goom Chumpy?
Well, if he's voting for that kind of, well, that was the whole thing with Bernie, was that maybe he doesn't advocate for as lefty politics in such a traditional way like Jeremy Corbyn did, but he was definitely the best.
But no, him and
shot.
Jeremy Corbyn are completely different. Like,
yeah, but they
like,
were always lumped together.
Yeah,
and
but
there was
it was
always
all
that
fake
comparison.
And, gay.
And it, just as much as like he was America's best shot, Corbyn was our best shot.
But
he, like,
if you
fucking
really look at him politically, like Bernie Sanders would be like a sort of more similar to like a Keir Starmer type of figure in terms of his politics.
But my point was, is that the same sorts of comparisons were made where you saw videos of Jeremy Corbyn getting arrested for denuclearization protests and shit in the 70s.
Anti-racism,
and you saw
Noam
Chomsky, you got it all the name fucked up in my head now. Then you saw videos of a very young Bernie Sanders in like some form of fucking office.
Yeah.
Saying the very same shit, like, you know, 30 years ago or whatever. You had that same, like, yes, you can look at my voting record and I didn't vote for Iraq and I didn't do this and I didn't do that because I have principles and I stand by what I'm fucking talking about. And the same things was with Jeremy Corbyn. You could go back and look at his voting record and you're like, yeah, he didn't vote for any of those things because
dude,
he's anti-war.
It's fake and gay. Listen.
So then if Bernie Sanders is now fucking voting for that stuff, that means there's something's changed.
How long has the war in Ukraine been going on for since February? So that's what, like 3 months?
Like March or something, wasn't it? Was it
February? I'm pretty sure February was when it was. Okay. So it's like, what, 3 months? In that time, more has been spent in that time than was spent on the entire first year of the Iraq war. And that was like a full-on war. And
this
it's
is
not
a pretty full-on war, mate.
Well, I'm just saying, it was a full-on US had declared war in that territory, whereas now it's still a proxy war, quote-unquote. Yet they've spent more fucking money in that time. Raytheon is fucking enriching itself and laughing all the way to the fucking bank.
But I would
like,
argue,
this is complete. I don't understand anyone who can say that they're principled and on the left and support what's going on at the moment.
Well, let's put it in context a little bit, because I do understand the point that you're making, and a lot of crazy fucking money is getting funneled into this proxy
Why
war.
Why the fuck do you think that is?
Because there's money to be made, and there's money to be made. And maybe fucking Bernie's got a little secret fucking...
I'm not saying it. There's also because of the narrative that's been spun around the war and the ideologies that they've generated in order to justify it. They, and because of how cowardly people who are quote-unquote on the left are in politics, they'll just fucking capitulate. And it doesn't, nobody has to be paid by anyone. It's political pressure that's being put on them to capitulate to this bullshit.
Maybe you're right there as well. But in terms of the scale of money, like, you got to think, like, you know, trying to fight a proxy war against Russia versus even arguably, you know, toppling Saddam Hussein. It's a big difference in scale of like
but that's
military
what I'm saying,
ability
but that's what I'm
and like
saying.
All of that
These
stuff,
are the
right?
reasons so, why it's become so gargantuan and why they want it to be, you know, to continue perpetually is because of that very fucking reason. Because it's a bigger place for the military industrial economy the military industrial complex to like manufacture consent for more spending. They could only manufacture consent for a certain amount of spending during the Iraq war and all of those things, and it's not as if that was small, but now this is even huger in a place that, you know, not too long ago President Obama was saying doesn't have. He literally said when the fucking neocons were trying to put pressure on him to heighten aggression with Russia, he literally said that Ukraine doesn't serve any vital interest to US interests and that it would be stupid to go there and risk aggravating a country with like arguably the highest nuclear stockpile. So if Obama said that literally not too long ago, why the fuck has that now changed?
Well,
what has changed? Why is this region of such importance that they're spending billions and that even left-wing, quote-unquote, anti-war people who are supposedly in government are co-signing that?
Well, the one area where
what
I think...
What the fuck?
Well, the one area where I do think Obama clearly didn't understand the role that Ukraine played in the global... economic chain, I think. Like, and I didn't know this either until you start reading about all this shit about the food crisis that's now fucking coming, because so much fucking grain is grown in Ukraine.
Yep.
It's like a crazy amount of the world's grain or something. I told you this last week
and you were like, oh, you're lying, Angie. I don't know what you're talking about.
That sounded like some fucking Alex conspiracy, fucking
I'm
bullshit.
I'm here to tell you, the only way to be...
Really, fucking Ukraine, really?
The way to be is schizo.
That shit was grain?
Being schizo is the only way to be these days, Jake. It's the only way to stay sane.
But that doesn't line up with the defense of, there's no strategic interest in Ukraine. It's like, well, that's a fucking massive strategic interest. Are you kidding me? They're talking about the food security of like loads of different third world countries and like developing nations being completely threatened in this regard. And then if you have pissed off hungry people in those places, they're going to want to overthrow the motherfuckers that are put in place by the fucking Western, whoever's caking off all the fucking money to do something about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's
where it's favorable.
Yeah, but that's
for
what I'm
the
saying
Western,
is
all of that stuff to be around in there. So I'm not saying that we should be.
No, but that's what I'm saying is the interests are not to the interest of the West in terms of like the people or whatever. It's the interest of those in power.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what they're trying to hide. When Obama was saying that, that's basically what he was saying. But he's changed his tune now, for sure.
The same Obama that went and drank the Flint water. So,
I'm not saying that Obama was good. I'm saying his stance seemed rational. His stance was rational then.
He talked the talk.
But then it became politically incorrect within his constituency to have that stance after the election of Trump, because that was when the libs started to really ramp up their anti-Russia shit. And that was when the neocons in the Republican Party no longer saw the Republican Party as like a vehicle for their grievances and for their warmongering. So they turned to the fucking Democrats. And a lot of the old Bush era neocons are now aligned with the Democrats. And they're on fucking CNN. And they're on MSNBC. And they're writing columns in the Washington Post. And they're seen as these experts. And they were the ones who were doing all of that fucking Russiagate, anti-Trump, fucking hysteria shit back then.
Yeah.
So all of this is to serve their interest. The strategic interest it has is for them, not for the country or the nation or the well-being of like the people or anything like that. And that's the reason why it's really disturbing to see the so-called left, the people who, because you saw this, you saw like all this, the DSA fucking people and all the so-called like radicals and all the other people basically fall in line with the DNC consensus, like as soon as Bernie Sanders was no longer a viable option.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm part of like the leftovers who are like, no, fuck this shit. I just saw it early on. So now I exist in this like nebulous little space or whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing is, all those people are now singing in unison with the military industrial complex, with Raytheon, with the national security state. That's who they're supporting now. That's the agenda that they're like fully aligned with. And they fully bought all the propaganda of support the current thing and force and socially coerce other people into doing the same. And it's really fucked up. And just like COVID, it's another issue that's like tearing people apart and like polarizing them hideously.
Yeah.
Like someone posted something on Twitter today that I found really interesting, where they were talking about how they've lost so many friends. Most of their lib left friends have basically ostracized them and left them behind because of their stance on lockdowns and because of their stance on Ukraine. They've been like completely ostracized from certain friend groups or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's so sad.
Well,
how like atomized people are getting, how fucking these issues are being used as a wedge between us.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
But it's that you can't talk about anything without someone assuming you're something, if you know what
but
I mean.
But also the worst, the most hyperbolic manifestation of that thing. Like your disagreement with them isn't just a disagreement. It's you're literally siding with the wrong side of history.
Yeah, literally. Like,
you are
problem. I can't remember who it was I saw some interview with where they were saying like, you know, of course I feel very sympathetic to the people of Ukraine. It's terrible what they're going through. But we have to remember this didn't happen in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, didn't just all of a sudden one day Russia decide to do this. Mm. That's just not the truth. And if you say something like that, it's like, oh, well, you're a Putinist.
Yeah,
then.
You're a fucking...
And it's just like, well, no, I'm not trying to fucking...
They're crazy.
I'm not advocating for fucking Putin, dude. I'm, like, talking about the situation,
yeah,
and I'm explaining the nuances of that and how it's a great, it's a very gray thing.
Yeah.
It's definitely not simple. Oh yeah, Hitler, Winston's back in, Boris is the new Winston, fucking
yeah,
Biden's the fucking Roosevelt, let's fucking go, boys. It's like, no, that is not how it's fucking gonna go.
But then the social coercion aspect is all, and the propaganda, the support the current thing, it's all like a psyop to coerce people into just like obeying the current order. Because one of the things we fear the most, sometimes even more than death, is like being ostracized from the tribe or ostracized from the herd. And that's what they're using, like, over people in order to make them conform. And I don't know, I've always been a bit of a freakish outsider type. I'm like a hardened Aquarius. So I'm like okay with being ostracized and misunderstood. That, like, that's been my whole life. But most people are not that way.
No.
You most just have people to, are not. It's just that just thing not.
Of like, do you have, are you the sort of person that feels you need to correct someone on their point of view?
They do.
Or do you feel the temperature of the person you're talking to and you're like, have I got the energy? Can I be asked? They're going to be really... I can see where this conversation's going with just like the little things that are going yeah. off when we're not even talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So me even sprouting any kind of opinion beyond, yeah, that's fucking crazy, man,
yeah.
is going to be met with... and you're just like, no, dude, like, meltdown. I do not have
but
this.
I do oh,
you
do just, that.
And you risk, like, souring whatever relationship. And
I
that
do
could
do
either
that.
Be something
I just
that's...
pretend sometimes. It depends on the situation or the context. But in real life, most of the time, when someone starts to pipe up, I just pretend and go along with it in order to have and maintain peace. And then I avoid that person after that interaction because I don't like tedious people. And if someone's going to start throwing all of that into the equation, then I just assume they're a tedious person and don't want to be around them. It's that simple. That's how I deal with it, like, tactfully. But even then, like, we were
it's
talking
like,
about...
Do I need to speak or interact with this person?
But they
probably
can also
in
sense...
In my near and medium future for
can,
what I foresee.
The thing is, they can also...
No? Cool. Let's chat about it.
But the thing is, they can also sense your indifference as well a lot of the time. And that then makes... them more aggressive and hostile towards you. Like, we were talking about Junji Ito, and a lot of this shit is like a fucking mind virus. We're talking about viruses of the body. This is like a virus of the mind. This is like a Lovecraftian, like, demonic spell.
That's very true.
That's like being cast over humanity. And it's one that's been with us for a very long time, but it manifests itself in many different forms. And it just so happens that in this era, this is the form that it's taking. It's like mass hysteria. And I guess that's the reason why I've been reading Junji Ito lately, because his works kind of like depict mass hysteria and the sort of mimetic effects of propaganda and ideology and all of those different things.
I think it's like probably one of those the similar concept to the ultra-terrestrial of it being like this force that's manipulating consciousness. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't even think... I wouldn't even go that schizo.
That isn't even necessarily through, like, oh, some black right mystical fucking magic thing. That's, like, through having everybody, like, communicate their entire life through a single device.
Yeah.
Through the advent of social media, the place it's put on, like, yeah. fucking people's image and, like, all of this fucking other stuff. All of these things culminating in all of this stuff, like, leads to... where
mass
we're
hysteria.
At now.
Yeah. But even then, like, I wouldn't even say it's some external force. I think that it's an aspect of our consciousness or our collective consciousness that, when unchecked, manifests itself in a very destructive way. And I think that in the past, we probably had checks and balances for this unconscious psychic force. And I don't even think it's one. I think there are many. Like, remember the whole story about Carl Jung and the Wotan thing, how during Carl Jung's time, he was doing a lot of dream work and interpreting unconscious signs within people's dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And there was motifs that he was spotting right before the rise of the Third Reich, like a lot of Teutonic kind of mythic imagery. And he hypothesized that Wotan was like stirring and that it was going to bring forth some form of catastrophe in the 20th century. And then lo and behold, fascism. I think that there are lots of little monsters like
there's
that.
There's probably the conditions that those people were in that makes them have...
makes it manifest in some exactly. way. But I mean, I think that's what I'm saying. I think there, but I don't think it's a singular thing. I think there are lots of monsters that exist in the human psyche and that it's our job to understand and integrate them. And when we don't do that, they fucking come in very ugly, fucked up ways.
Yeah. Well, I
which is kind of what Jung was talking about, like the collective shadow, like the fact that things like authoritarianism, things like, you know, our will to freedom, things like how much control is too much. Like these are questions that we've like left by the wayside in favor of this kind of very empty neoliberal paradigm that seems to have kind of put a stay to the scary unconscious forces of the 21st century. But now that like dam is breaking and so much wants to like come out.
Yeah.
Like so much wants to come out.
I also feel like it's probably just like our technology superseding our monkey brains in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like when you talk to people that lived the bulk of their like adult life when they were very active in the 20th century or like in the quote unquote golden period of the 20th century, like in the 60s and 70s and 80s and stuff.
Yeah.
Like it didn't feel like, obviously political strife, bad things happen all the fucking time. It is not in comparison to what it feels like to be alive today.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what
it's
I mean?
It's like so ubiquitous. Yeah, like back then, it must have felt ubiquitous because of the news and like the TV, the idiot box, as they called it. That was a new thing, but it's a lot more ubiquitous now. I wouldn't say necessarily that more is happening now, but it feels like it because there's
not even just that. I think even just information and how you trust it and everything, the way everything is communicated now is completely
like
different.
Schizophrenic.
It's completely different to how it has been for the rest of our existence. Mm. And it's having an effect on our mental psyches.
Well, this thing is the internet and like...
That's what I feel like, why everyone's so fucking divided, why everyone's so fucking crazy these days. It's because of all of this change. We've had this monumental technological shift with the internet and all of this stuff, and we're just seeing the very cusp of what's actually possible
but
with
not
that
just
stuff.
That.
And it's breaking our fucking heads. We can't, it's breaking society. Well, we can't like fucking handle it.
I feel like it's an externalization of our unconscious, our collective unconscious. That's kind of what the internet is. And the sort of unconscious forces I was talking about, the sort of darker ones that we've not reckoned with fully, that we've just sort of tried to stave off with arrogance, I think, which is what's at the heart of neoliberalism, is like hubris, our inability to reckon with our own, you know, condition and our predicament. Like that's what we've sort of been using to stave off these unconscious forces. But now they're like manifesting themselves through this like thing, this like externalization, this portal that we've created into our like unconscious mind. And I feel like that's why people are becoming possessed by like ideology.
Mm-hmm.
They're becoming like possessed by certain elements of propaganda. And I feel like the powers that be, like they know this, which is why they use these tools to their disposal constantly. And there's so many times where I talk to people and I realize I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to like whatever persona they've constructed.
Yeah, the mask they've put on today.
But not, it's not just that. The mask is constructed of memes and ideology and aesthetics.
Yeah.
And then there's not a whole lot beyond that. And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about older people. I'm talking specifically about younger people.
Yeah.
Like, and people in, like, people our age and younger, basically.
Yeah, it's definitely a pattern within, like, I would say even like the slightly older than us as well, like the kind of early 30s and that, and like below. It's very common. And you meet a lot less real people.
Yeah.
I feel like that. And that sounds really shallow and really horrible, maybe. But it's also, I don't know, it is quite hard to find people with substance.
That's why most of our friends are like really older than us.
Yeah,
and I have a much easier time getting along with and feeling happy and inspired by people who are like way older because they're not so obsessed with being cool and like cringe, if you know what I mean. They're like not self-conscious in that way. They don't have this like weird meta narrative running in their heads 24/7 because of the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's just like a freedom and an ease with which they express themselves and with which they move in the world. And I find myself wanting to emulate them more, and I feel more at ease with older people than I do with people who are in my own generation,
yeah,
who are like infested with like brainworms for the internet and are really preoccupied with themselves and like, yeah, to the point where they're like in this paralysis.
The thing though is the internet, and like I'm kind of so torn because like intellectual people that I've come to know recently or like know their work and like, you know, appreciate and respect had massively and like positive and optimistic outlook around what the internet could be and what it would do for the mental well-being of people. Like Timothy Leary thought it would be like the successful psychedelic revolution, that it really would be in everyone's hands and like it would change. It would change the world in this massively positive way.
I'm not trying to
way.
Declare like a Butlerian jihad or anything.
No, but there is. There is definitely a correlation between the mental decline of people and the pervasiveness of internet in your daily life. And
but I don't think that it's actually
the necessity of it.
I don't think it's actually like the thing as a tool. I think it's the incentive structure behind the tool. The tool itself could have the potential to unlock all kinds of areas of human consciousness, like. One of the best things about the internet for me is the fact that I've been able to use it to expand my horizons and learn about things and to have access to so much information and to see different perspectives and all of those things. Like those things are great and it could even be pushed more. But what is it really controlled by? A few companies that want to sell us shit.
Yeah. Now, anyway.
They want to sell us shit and they've created this horrible toxic attention economy where everyone's like crabs in a barrel. And they want to keep us glued to it for as long as possible. It's not really meant to enhance our lives. It's supposed to be a prison for our consciousness so that we continue to consume. They want us to get our entire sense of self from it and everything. So, of course, it's going to have a deleterious effect on our shit.
What it has done, in true Timothy Leary words, is split everyone into their own reality tunnel. And, like, they exist within two main reality tunnels now. and your reality tunnel then basically shapes also everybody else that's not in your reality tunnel as a fucking nutter or an extremist or anything else, right?
Yep.
And
well, it's not just that. The media in general, it's not just the media in general. Like, look what happened after the whole Buffalo shooting. Immediately, you have people penning op-eds about, like, how... There was this one that was written about how, like, fucking... basically, the shooter is not an extremist. He's a mainstream Republican.
Well, yeah,
basically saying
go,
half the country supports violent extremism.
They're in the left tunnel.
And everyone outside of that tunnel, regardless of whether or not they support violent extremism, supports violent extremism. It's crazy how like this shit is crazy. It's gotten so out of hand. It's gotten so fucking out of hand. The extent to which people demonize each other. And the reason I pay so much attention, like the right is guilty of it in certain instances as well. But the reason I point so keenly towards the left is because they're the ones that have all the institutional power right now, or at least the portions of it that matter. Silicon Valley is heavily dominated by DNC interests and vice versa.
Mm.
Who's in power now in terms of governance? Who's the one pushing all of this fucking shit? Because people are like, oh, well, the right's just as bad. Well, the right's not fucking doing this shit right now, are they? They're not.
Yeah.
And in the people who are supposed to be pushing against this stuff, the people who are supposed to be speaking the most eloquently about the spiritual maladies that haunt our current times, are fully in line with the fucking system. They've all become goom choompies. That's what we should call them from now on.
Goom choompies.
Yeah, goom choompies. Just chooping around.
Chooping around, giving context. correcting disinformation.
Oh my God, what is going on?
Keeping, making sure the state line is nice and, you know, it's adhered maddening. To by everyone because it's rational and it's sensible to have it's that maddening. Position.
It makes me so upset.
No.
And then, okay.
It's frustrating that there isn't anything to align yourself in a counter to anything.
No.
Because... Do you know what I mean?
That's why like, I feel like such an awkward, ridiculous duck.
At least when because, there was
like,
a
what
rack,
am I supposed to do in this situation?
At least when there was a rack, there was like the biggest protest in political history in this country, at least, that happened in opposition to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There were politicians going, hey, maybe let's not fucking do that. Maybe
you're talking about the Iraq war protest.
Like,
yeah,
maybe like let's not. There were politicians saying it, it wasn't everybody on the everybody in Labour. Oh no, not everybody. Like not everybody was like fucking yeah, let's do this. Not everybody in Labour was like yeah, let's fucking do this. Like there
the anti-war position had a strong
and it was basis. And it was populist. Yes. It was like the automatic stance you would have unless you're a fucking square.
It's still,
because why would you want to go to fucking war with
it's
someone?
It's still fucking populist now, but it's not being represented by the constituencies that call
I'm
themselves
sure
populist.
Is that
but it,
populist?
The thing is, the right has been, the right, the people who have been pushing back against it have been the right. Like you have right, you have Donald Trump's son saying what Bernie Sanders should have said instead. Like Donald Trump's son literally said, like, you guys are sending $40 billion off to Ukraine, you know, while mothers aren't able to fucking buy milk for their children or something along those lines. And that's something you would expect out of the mouth of someone like AOC or Bernie Sanders. Instead, they're like, support the current thing! Support the current thing! Support the current thing! It's like surreal.
Sign the check for Lockheed Martin.
And whether or not you believe that the right is genuine or not, the contrast is fucking clear. It's fucking clear.
As much as I'm
and
like,
jarring, and it's not something that you can deny.
It is suspicious that Top Gun is coming out like as all of this is going on. I will say that it is very convenient timing for them to be ramping up like support for the military-industrial complex. Because like literally, there was a whole. I read a whole article about how Lockheed Martin designed the fucking super duper jet or whatever, the Top Gun jet, the big boy jet or whatever. And it's not a real thing, but it's like it looks like the fucking real thing because they fucking designed it and they design all the fucking real ones. And like a Chinese spy satellite or something was actually tracking this fucking thing because it was like, dude, what the fuck is that? We've never seen that before.
Way.
What the fuck is this thing? And there's like, and it was it's the fucking plane in Top Gun.
No way.
So like, yeah, that's how realistic that fucking thing was.
That's fucking crazy, dude.
And Tom Cruise still wanted to fly it.
Oh my God.
You guys are fucking mad, man.
Oh my God.
They were like, no, we can't, dude. That's like $1 million worth of fucking
there's
shit.
So much
we can't
like
let you fly
we
fucking
could,
jet.
We could like, do a whole Schizo episode on Tom Cruise and like Scientology and shit. Because I've been reading a bunch about the. And I watched
see,
the video.
You
want to
see him on like a Joe Rogan, man? I cannot imagine a 3-hour conversation with Tom Cruise. You don't think so?
No, I don't
like,
think
if you
he would.
Just like, you know
he's
what,
so
fuck
Hollywood
it.
And he's so.
It.
No.
I'll do it, man.
No,
I'll
he's
come
got
on your
like 50 handlers. Like, he's so Hollywood.
Scientology wouldn't let it happen.
No, he's like a million handlers. Because he's so knee deep in that shit. And today I was like reading because I watched a video about the men who stare at goats shit that the intelligence agencies were doing, like that all that stuff.
Stargate,
this, like, the Stargate program, and one of the the key scientists was a Scientologist and was into Scientology. And I'm like that, like L. Ron Hubbard's linked to Crowley, all of that shit. Well, like it's all like so deeply interconnected. And then also the fucking military industrial complex in Hollywood is deeply interconnected. Like we could do a whole Schizo episode on like all of this
our
shit.
Our buddies, you know, from around that era, or the psychedelic era, or whatever, they
you
did
shouldn't
say
much.
That,
don't say
no,
anything.
No, they did say like everybody that was into that whole psychedelic thing either fell into
the Scientology
or Rajneesh.
Yeah,
like
the
stuff.
Rajneesh Param.
So it doesn't surprise me that someone that was like a scientist that was super into like fucking astral projection and doing all this mad shit with your fucking mind was also into the whole psychedelic fucking revolution
and
shit, right?
That was what opened up these different areas of research in the security agencies because the 60s kind of gave leeway to that kind of heady research.
Yeah.
Especially because of like the prominence of like Eastern mysticism and like all this new age shit. Like they wanted to see what could be employed for intelligence purposes.
Well, it was actually if that part of the story is the true part of the story in the Menus Tirith goes, is that it wasn't really out of a proactive thing. It was out of paranoia that they actually received a message that the Russians were already doing stuff like this. And they had they had psychonauts, as they called them, that were like super soldiers. And that's made the whole Jedi Warriors thing fucking go. And they'd started doing all of this, what is perceived as psychedelic research. But then when the CIA does it, all of a sudden it's a conspiracy and it's fucking crazy. It's just like, no, dude, this is just like... You know what I mean?
History.
This is stuff that people were talking about and were like, and like all those scientists that were part of the psychedelic revolution shit, the way they fucking treated Tim Leary, dude. And like, it's fucked up. Yeah, it is, man. Seriously fucking
but
crazy.
But Tim was also a complicated figure in that sense,
of course,
too.
Because he was like, perfect guy,
he was in
but,
bed
you know,
with the glowies big time. And like,
I've got his book, so I can't wait to fucking read it. But I don't think it's as simple as that.
Yeah, but he was also super overly optimistic about the power of pharmakia, in my opinion. And I think he flew too close to the sun. He's like a classical Icarus.
It was from what I've read in Cosmic Trigger with Robert Anton Wilson, who was arguably probably one of the closest people to Timothy Leary ever. From how he talks about him.
Well,
the
of course
of
he'll talk about
he
him in glowing light, because
well, no,
he was part
no,
of the clique.
Was that the, all the optimism, all of that stuff, it's that's just like, that was him, man. Like, radiating that positivity, that was literally his whole vibe. You know what I mean? And so, like... The whole pharmakia thing. He was also quite stipulous about that as well. It was just like, I don't want it to be legalized so that anyone can go into a shop and buy this shit. I'm saying that this stuff is a tool that can be used, and it is very effective. I've proven it scientifically that it can be used in maybe some arguably ethically kind of fucked up ways even.
Yeah,
but
of course.
It's
but that's
fucking
like what
effective.
The CIA was
so
doing.
If you can, no, but he's coming at it from the fucking optimistic, positive, hey, you're fucking depressed, you've got fucking PTSD, you've got all of these things, you've got even addiction, you've got negative personality traits about yourself that you recognize and want to get rid of consciously. You can literally go to someone, tell them what you want, and they can cook up a fucking... trip for you.
Yeah,
they'll,
that even what you're
cure
saying
that, you know?
Sounds insane.
It sounds insane,
and
but like he's fucking.
And like you, fucking
I know, but then
and
you,
I think that that because the CIA then took all of that shit. They took all of Timothy Leary's research and then used it for fucking really dubious fucking shit.
Yeah,
you can't just hack into someone's brain,
but that's
without
why
consequences.
He said, that's why he was saying it's only for fucking doctors and people that have to
yeah,
take that
even
kind of
then,
Hippocratic
even
oath
then
and a fucking
it's still
you know
really clinically
from a moral. Place,
but even then,
you know
it's
I mean?
Real. Really, it's really clinically dangerous, and he was doing like experimental shit on people's minds.
Well, you got to figure this stuff out first.
Yeah, but
and he did. So like, you know
then,
what I mean?
Like,
you got to figure this stuff out first.
I have mixed feelings about him. In the same way, I have mixed feelings about pharmakia. I wish I could say it like Alex Jones says it.
I haven't heard him say that.
He talks about pharmakia all the time.
Pharmakia.
And he thinks it's like demonic and terrible. I don't think that.
Well, yeah, because he's had bad fucking trips where the elves clearly said some negative shit to him or whatever.
No, Jake, but like, that's his like opinion. I don't think that, but I do think that there's like it's twofold. Like if it's abused, it's
definitely.
Like because like it's like. I forget who it was, but they put it... I think it was one of the chaos magicians from the 90s. Sorry, guys. This episode has gotten really schizo, but you just have to bear with us. It's the weed. But it was one of the chaos magicians...
No, this is just, like, how we are. We have to put on this, like, oh, yes. And then current events this week, all this stuff happened. But normally we're here, like, dude, what about, like, fucking...
The aliens, man.
Like, Project Stargate.
No one's ever going to take me seriously. What am I going to do? But anyway, yeah, one of the chaos magicians from the 90s, I forget who it was talking about how it's like black magic versus white magic. So like how black magic is about bypassing traditional or even ceremonial processes in order to achieve results with your consciousness. And then white magic is using tradition and ceremony and methods that are rooted in some kind of
culture
or religious context in that sense.
That's a culture.
Culture or religious context, whatever. And that is like the white hand path or whatever. And how what the CIA was doing was like a form of black magic, because they weren't. It was like a shamanic initiation, but without any of the processes that and the checkpoints and the safety and the managing that the sort of checks and balances that religious experiences, cultural experiences give one. So it's like giving someone the voice of God, but without religion, and how that has like a traumatic effect to like a consciousness that's like unknowing, that has no way of anticipating what it's about to experience, basically.
Of course, but that's kind of like,
so that's
that, of
why
course,
that's
of course,
my
that's,
whole thing
of course
is
that's where
need...
the CIA would take it, but the, like I've
but
read
but even
I've
what
read...
he was doing was
no,
kind
no, no,
of a form
I've,
of black
I've,
magic
I've,
too
I've,
in that sense
oh, kind
according,
of but
according to that criteria
black
anyway.
Magic by that criteria, but white magic in its fucking like computer
like white
ethos.
Magic would be you going to a shaman in Bolivia somewhere,
of course,
and him taking
this,
you through the initiatory archetypes of that system,
yeah,
and
using and
giving
the
you
natural
the mythology,
plants and all of that
no,
and
giving you the mythology, giving you background, taking you through the process, you know, allowing your consciousness to absorb everything bit by bit, like using a system of archetypes so that you don't go crazy.
Of course.
Whereas what someone like Timothy Leary was doing was like, here's some acid, man.
No.
We're going to change your personality.
No, 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 no.
And it's like, you're going to fuck someone up.
No.
You're going to fuck them up.
The way, so I read about what he would do with people with like PTSD and stuff like that, where like it was a very practiced thing where, and I've always said this about psychedelics, where like it's not something I'm going to encourage someone to go to a club and take acid. Like, I don't know what the fuck Lemmy and all those fucking musicians were doing in the 70s. That's fucking insane. Like, I could not cope.
No, dude, I was at
like
a rave once. My friend, our ex-roommate Cammie, who sometimes listens to the podcast, she was there with me. So she'll remember this fucking story. And we were at some ratchet like rave in the middle of like Croydon. And it was in like an abandoned school building or whatever. And everyone was on some kind of drug. And we bought this like MDMA off some random guy outside of it. And I was having a bad time on it. Like I was like throwing up. But then like the euphoria set in and I felt okay again. But then because the police came to shut it down, they barred us all in and said that we weren't allowed to leave. And this guy was fully on acid and having a complete meltdown.
Yeah.
And he was red in the face and like amped up. His veins were like bulging out of his fucking neck. And he was just like screaming and pushing people out of the way. And because I was on MDMA, like I was like extra sensitive to vibes. And
oh
his vibe
God.
Was like freaking me out.
Of course.
Like he was literally like losing his shit. Like it's not the kind of drug
no,
that you can
not.
Just do anywhere.
No, it's not.
Like
it's a very like, hey, put some fucking incense on. Try and relax, get yourself somewhere safe, relax.
I wouldn't even,
and like,
I don't know.
And settle in.
Yeah.
And like, and have an experience for yourself, even with close friends that you can trust.
Yeah.
Like in a smallish group, up to five,
but I don't
maybe
even think
six.
That.
I could like, I can get on board with that.
But
more than that, I think that would kind of start to get very strange. I don't think you could, I don't personally have people I'm that close with, that number of people that I'm that close with where I'd feel comfortable
doing it in a group,
doing it with them,
yeah.
Like that. But so like up to five or six, I think, is kind of, that's how many very close friends you have, right? Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm a fucking
but even
like an indoor
no.
fuckhead and I
that's
don't have any friends.
That's pretty normal as like an adult.
But like, so that's kind of the content. And that is like, you're trying to do almost what Timothy was talking about yourself, where he would literally be like, okay, so I'm treating you for PTSD or depression or whatever. Okay, so take this. How do you feel? Starts talking to them. They start to like feel the effects or whatever. He then
yeah,
just stops talking as they start to like get into it. Puts on a specific piece of music that has scientifically been shown to elicit this emotion, whatever, have this effect on people. Puts on this music for a certain amount of time. Again, starts talking to him, relaxing, talking to him through
and
all
then
of this
MK
stuff.
Ultra's
no. Then like, look at this picture of a rose. Bang, that's half an hour. What do you see? like, and like going through all of this stuff to like really like specific impacts at specific times during your trip. So it's not quite as simple as just like, oh, here's some acid and here you go, you're cured, man. It's like, no, it's actually very scientific.
He's using the scientific context outside of the realm of mysticism, religion, outside of the realm of the things that have guided us through the unconscious realm for thousands of years. There's still an element of hubris to that, in my opinion. And not that's not to say that his work wasn't influenced by those things, but there's a reason why the whole shamanic process has been there for thousands of years to guide people through that. And I feel like without it, you're kind of unleashing hell. Well,
we haven't had shamanic practice around these parts for fucking hundreds, 800 years, more than that, probably.
Yeah, it's because like...
It's not something that exists or even anybody knows what it was.
In European civilization specifically, and like Western civ got rid of all of its like Thonian spiritual unconscious underbelly in favor of striving towards Apollonian ideals. So of course you've lost contact with that realm. And what you see is like the Apollonian ideal attempting to re-enter and dominate the Thonian realm. And it will never happen. It can never happen. And all it will do is like produce catastrophe. And that's what it's done, which is why I'm skeptical about pharmakia, not because I'm skeptical about it in general, but I'm skeptical about it in this cultural context. I don't see how it wouldn't make shit worse than it already is. Because it's like, it's like if you release, like say they decided they were going to start legalizing and doing this and that today, in a world where we're already going through like this mass psychosis, it would be like adding gasoline to a fire, because the incentive behind it and the sort of spiritual archetypal structure behind it is like destructive, in my opinion.
I don't know. I think if they start, because there's a lot of talk about ketamine therapy and I've never done
ketamine. They're doing
ketamine
it now, and there are enclaves here and there.
I've had that psychedelic experience, but... And they've talked about psilocybin therapy.
They're doing it, and there are enclaves here and there. And those enclaves, because they're not like mainstream, have success. But I fear if it becomes more mainstream, the sort of insidious incentive structure that's like at the heart of everything will influence it, and it will have a deleterious effect. That's my fear.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know, maybe my, like, getting some mushrooms and trying to be by myself is my own, like,
recreation
of that.
And also because you have the temperament for it. You're fairly well-adjusted. In fact, you're probably one of the more well-adjusted people I know. You're even more well-adjusted than me. I'm a little bit wonky.
Everyone's wonky.
But you're not as wonky as most people. Like, you're pretty well-adjusted, and you are also, like, responsible. But there are so many people I know who would not have a good time doing mushrooms or acid on their own. In fact, it could even exacerbate their issues. Like, it's not something I would recommend to like most of the people I know.
It was the thing that I was very...
Without supervision,
it was the thing that I was very cautious of, getting more into drugs when I was an adolescent, because from the get-go, I did have this understanding that smoking weed is one thing, kind of everything else is a bit of a gamble. And like, you know, you could potentially have a bad time, even a medically bad time.
Yeah.
So like, it's kind of take your chances, you know? Yeah. And I was also a massive Pink Floyd fan. And you read the stories about Sid and all of that shit with fucking
Sid
acid
Barrett
and all of that stuff. Yeah. And it was just like, well, to be honest, bro, like, I do not want to fucking end up like that. So I was really scared of psychedelics for a long time.
Yeah.
Until I did like some 40X salvia shit in a bomb. And I like transported to the fucking Tron universe. And like,
this is great. I'm having a great time.
No, I thought that the campfire in the distance was like the red programs that were like coming to delete us users, and we were all like dancing and having this great time. I was like paralyzed on the floor, like like trying to warn everyone, but I'm so high that I literally, it was coming out of the mouth like.
I hate salvia. It's so terrible.
No, but just that experience of like. The reality that you are in just
crumbling
completely
before,
disappears before your eyes, and everything, and then you even completely forget about it. It didn't exist mm-hmm. in your mind. Mm-hmm. You were in Tron, and all that has ever existed was your Tron life. And you have this issue now in front of you where the programs are coming after you, you've got to fucking sort it out. Nothing outside of that existed. And just how visceral that experience was yeah. like, whoa, this is not like, oh, I saw a dragon. Huh. Like, this is like... way beyond that.
Yeah.
The potential for this is like way beyond that. Yeah. But it was also then like, but so be careful.
Yeah.
Like, you be responsible. Don't go and take fucking mushrooms at a festival around literally 100,000 strangers.
Yeah.
Don't take acid when you go to an illegal rave.
Yeah.
Because there's already potential for random fuckery to happen.
Yeah.
Being high on a bit of Mandy or something like, is enough to really enjoy that experience.
But there are some people who are just Dionysian and insane like that, and they have a good time. But there are some people who really fuck themselves up, and they kind of ruin it for everyone.
They do, man.
And that's the thing. I'm glad that rave culture, at least in the UK, has survived lockdown. Like, people are really going hard at the moment in the UK because fucking we're free and nobody knows when some monkeypox shit is gonna fuck shit up again. So everyone's like fucking go, like, that's one thing I love about British culture is that this country can get so fucking miserable at times, but the more miserable it gets, the harder we go when it comes to partying. And yeah. everyone's just out like having a great time. But the thing is that the reason why illegal rave culture has still been kind of allowed to exist is because obviously it's a staple of youth culture in this country. It's never going to go anywhere. But like, after COVID, a lot of the restrictions in terms of like police culture started to get tighter because people were throwing plague raves during COVID. There were quite a few of those happening and the police saw it as this like giant affront. And because things were locked down, it was a lot easier for them to like, there were loads of videos at the beginning of lockdown of like the police raiding different places when usually they're quite chill. But now apparently things have gotten a lot tighter in that respect. And especially they have more of an excuse when people take it way too far. Like, they've gotten this little ounce of freedom and then they want to go take acid first thing at like this big fucking rave and then they fuck themselves up. And it's like, just be responsible and like, be careful.
I read an article in, before I tell this story, actually, fucking that's the problem. Irresponsible drug takers ruin it for everyone else. And it's fucking frustrating. Just be an adult about it. Yes, I advocate that you should be able to try and have fun with most drugs, but just be fucking responsible and sensible about it, dude. Don't be fucking dumb. Not most drugs. You know?
There's some horrible shit.
A little bit of nice cocaine, a little bit of nice stuff.
But it's just any sponsors. Like,
it doesn't matter. We've not got sponsors regardless. I'm just saying, you should be able to have fun, but just be a fucking adult about it. Know your limits and don't be a fucking asshole. It's like not that hard.
But it's not that. It's not just that. Like I said, you're well adjusted. Most people who are doing drugs aren't just doing them to enhance their good time. They're doing them because they're miserable and they feel sad and they want to escape. But and that's how you get into the cycle of addiction.
Drugs are not the answer to those fucking problems, dude.
That's how people fall into like a cycle of addiction.
Drugs are the answer to no problems.
It's not to do with just, I'm having too much of a good time and I want to keep this going. Like, that's a common misconception when it comes to addiction, that, they tried the drug and loved it so much that they just had to keep going. I mean, that's a component of it. But the biggest part is I'm miserable and I need something to make me feel good, even if just for a short while.
Yes, they need a Leary session to get rid of their fucking inner demons, you know what I mean?
No, they need to get audited, actually. They need to go to a Scientology sauna and sweat it out of their system.
Sweat out the thetans.
Sweat the thetans out.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. We had, like, one last thing we wanted to talk about today. This has been quite a long episode of randomness, but I wanted to talk about the Black Lives Matter stuff that's going on, since it's not getting as much news coverage as it should be, in my opinion. Like, it's been in the news.
I wonder why.
It's been in the news, but it's been pretty sort of kicked into the tall grass.
It definitely hasn't been on, like, the
mainstream,
Apple.
Apple,
I read my news on the Apple News app.
It's not trended on Twitter either, really.
But it's not even on the headlines.
No.
You scroll through any of it, it's not on any of the headlines around it. And it does feel like it was a massively fraudulent and just dodgy fucking case.
That's what it seems like, big time. I mean, basically, this all started like last week. The week before last. Basically, Candace Owens, who is pregnant at the moment and should be at home, you know, putting her feet up, decided she was going to go with it. Her whole fucking camera crew.
She's all fired up. The hormones are kicked in. She's just like, I can't sit down. I need to go fucking scream at someone. That's my pregnancy craving.
But even then, she's kind of right in this situation, and I'm here for the messiness in this situation. She's right. So she basically carried her pregnant ass to Patrice Cullors' mansion and basically rang the bell. Ding dong. I was like, bitch, I'm outside. Where'd all the money go? And then Patrice Cullors basically, and for those of you who don't know who she is, she's like the ex-co-founder. Well, she's the co-founder of Black Lives Matter, and she's an ex-member because she stepped down last year amid scandal because she bought a bunch of homes for
because she took a bunch of money and distributed it to her family and people that she knows.
But wait,
under the guise of shell companies.
That comes later. But basically, so as Candace is at her mansion, she runs upstairs and begins to live stream and cry. And she's like, oh my God, the right wing is outside. They're here for me. And this is really triggering and horrible. And this could encourage right wing racist violence against me. And I'm really concerned for my safety, and all the things that are being said about the money are lies that are being fabricated by the right in order to put a wedge between me and my community. So I was like, okay, it seems sketchy. But I'm not going to say anything for now. Next thing you know, receipts are dropping. And that's what I was waiting for, was the receipts in this situation before coming to any conclusions. She then admits to the Associated Press a few days later that Black Lives Matter $6 million mansion that they bought in LA, she had used it for personal reasons twice, after previously lying that she had never used it for personal use. And it turns out that this mansion was bought by somebody who works for her nonprofit and then gifted to a company in order to hide the fact that BLM was the real buyer.
Mm.
And when asked what the mansion was for, what it took place for, they basically said it was an influencer house. This was like all leaked from internal memos that were reported on from Black Lives Matter. When they heard the story it was breaking, they were trying to quickly brainstorm to figure out what to say about the use of this mansion that they had bought.
Mm.
And they said it was an influencer house and that it had like a media section and that they used it for events and gatherings or whatever, which seems incredibly sketchy. And she used it once for her son's birthday party, a second time for her own celebration of Biden's inauguration. Lol. And also, it's dubious the way the house was purchased. Why is Black Lives Matter trying to hide that it's purchased this mansion? And then $3 million again that she spent on these properties. No one knows what's going on. So fast forward, cut a long story short. Last year, Black Lives Matter was reprimanded by California State and stopped. They were basically stopped from fundraising and accepting funds until they released their tax returns.
Mm.
So the 15th of May was like the deadline for the tax return to be released. And it turns out that Patrice Cullors gave her baby daddy, who also runs a clothing line and has like a media company or something, she gave him $900,000, so close to $1 million, which is less than what was donated to the Trayvon Martin Foundation, which is what put Black Lives Matter on the map in the first place, because it was after Trayvon Martin's death that the organization like came to be. So meanwhile, money is being given to people to buy mansions, baby daddies with rap careers, failed rap careers or whatever, and clothing lines are getting money. Like, what the fuck? Like, something incredible. Like, and people, obviously, from the beginning, I knew this was the case, especially during that summer where everyone was in their feelings and donating. I didn't donate shit. I did not donate shit. I didn't put Black Lives Matter in my bio. I knew from the beginning that it was fishy. And I stand by the fact that it was fishy. And every piece of evidence that comes out has come out so far has been incredibly damning. Even just last week, Sean King, our white black savior, like hundreds and hundreds of people were complaining that his clothing line never delivered their clothes, basically.
Oh.
And it was supposed to be this like BLM, black owned, black bought clothing line or whatever, but they didn't even get the fucking clothes.
They got black customer service.
Yeah. Racist Jake, oh, how dare you say such a terrible thing?
A jest.
I mean, just everywhere you go, even, and it's not, she can't even blame the right wing because like Tamir Rice's mother came out literally last year to condemn BLM for fucking profiteering off the names of their dead relatives. So many people, even within their own constituency, are criticizing them over this. So it's not just some right-wing lie,
yeah,
as people are trying to make it out. Something really fucking fishy is going on here.
Well, it's pretty obvious.
And
it's
has
not
been, and it's
fishy.
Fucking obvious. But the thing that pisses me off is like 2 years ago when I was saying it, everyone was like, oh, you're horrible. You're mean, Angie. You don't believe in the cause. You're a coon. You're this, you're that. Like,
how many Umar Johnson schools could they have made? Is it a school or a hospital?
He's trying to make a school.
Yeah, there you go. Could have built like fucking five of them fucking schools.
But that's what I'm saying. With all that, they got like Black Lives Matter reportedly had like 90 million off the back of like that summer, the George Floyd summer. They could have opened some community centers, a shelter for single black mothers, anything, just anything at all. Anything, any small thing, any community thing. But meanwhile, they're screaming abolish the police while Patrice Cullors is like behind a gate with like private security trying to hide from pregnant Candace Owens.
My God, man, it's so
like, it's
tragic.
Just so
it's so
dumb. It's just so dumb. And this is the left shit that people are like. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders is like siding with the fucking Biden administration, fucking NATO bullshit, along with the rest of the fucking left and the DNC fucking shills, and like fucking Black Lives Matter has like private security outside their gate while they're screaming defund the police.
It's a charity rug pull.
What is going on?
Do you know what a rug pull is?
Is it like in cryptocurrency?
Yeah, it's where you gas everyone up and raise loads of money on like this idea or this concept, and then you go, oh, it didn't work, sorry, and all the money's conveniently in your fucking back pocket.
Like, if you're gonna
steal
that,
she's done
that
with
a
whole fucking charity.
Like, if you're gonna do that with that much money or whatever, at least try to make yourself somewhat fabulous. All she does is like frown and look serious in pictures.
Hey, one of the worst jobs I worked was I worked at a call center when I was a student, and I had to ring people for charity to raise money. And they give you all of this information about these different charities that you're representing on whatever given day. Because people inevitably ask questions about stuff and all of that thing. And you need to have that information at hand to be able to tell people. And like, so many of them, like, I want to say at least 8 out of 10 of those charities, like, the head of the charity had a salary of, like, 500K.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
And that's, like, I don't know, whatever fucking lung disease charity or something. And it's just like, you're just caking it, mate.
Yeah.
You're just caking it off. But homeless charity, yeah, fucking any of it. Any fucking
it
given thing.
It
environment charity,
yeah,
you fucking name it. The guy's earning $500,000 fucking quid a year.
It happens all the time.
For what? Whose administration role?
It still didn't add up, though, because
the
salary that she claimed she was taking from BLM for her position, because it's not as if heads of nonprofits don't get paid. Like,
of
people
course
get paid,
they do.
But the salary didn't add up to the $3 million spending spree she went on buying homes. It also doesn't explain why BLM needed to spend $6 million on that mansion and what it was being used for. Like, why would you use something just, why would you be claim and take all this money that's supposed to be to help the black community and then buy a mansion that's like supposed to be used exclusively for media and networking purposes and for TikTok and for influencers or whatever. It just shows how out of touch the aspirations of this like activist black class is from the actual aspirations of like the people in the black community that are the most vulnerable and need the most help. And that's always been the case. And like the PSYOP just is so deep. For certain things, I laugh at people because I'm like, oh, that was an obvious PSYOP. You're dumb, you're stupid for falling for that. And you could say the same about BLM, but that also had a lot more visceral emotion attached to it than most things. Like wearing a mask is different than seeing like people shot by police.
Yeah, it was and heavy,
a lot
man.
Of those videos were horrific.
They were fucking brutal,
like the
man.
One that got me the most was the Philando Castile one.
All of them were fucked
all
up.
All of them were fucked up. But I all mean, the one that up. Really fucked me the most, all of them were fucked up, of course, but the one that really, really messed me up was the Philando Castile one. That, because before then I was sort of on the fence. But then when I saw that, that was what really was like, oh shit, like this is like a real, and people were emotional. People were, and it was done specifically to make people emotional.
Yeah.
So like, I don't blame everybody who fell for the ruse in that sense. Cause it's like, it was so visceral. But I mean, there will be no reckoning with this. Like it's been kicked into the tall grass and that's what happens.
Yeah, what you needed was real, like, reform for police to have probably an updated set of skills to deal with the updated mental state of the public.
But that also has, like, bipartisan support, too.
Yeah.
If you look at the statistics on police reform, that's something that has bipartisan support from both Republicans, Democrats.
Instead of that, what was advocated was this abolish the police shit.
Bullshit! It's meanwhile, like, the fucking heads of BLM have private security that follow them around. It's not as if when she was talking about right-wing extremists, Patrice Cullors would call the police after screaming, fucking abolish the police. The whole thing is a fucking mess. It's so stupid.
It's gross, man.
It's grotesque, it's really, that's what they use to distract people from the real issues that we can come together on. Because I'm sure most people agree that there was a moral emergency that needed to be addressed. And like I said, bipartisan support when it comes to fucking police reform issues and things like that.
If I was the mum of one of those kids, man, I'd be fucking
furious. You should have seen what she said. You should have seen what Tamir Rice's mother said. She was effing and blinding and lambasting every single one of them.
I don't fucking
strongly
blame her.
Because they were using her dead son's image to profit.
Disgusting,
a lot of the families
dude.
For the Black Lives Matter, in the Black Lives Matter, they were talking about, they, way back in like 2016, 2017, were saying that they weren't even, when they were going to protest in different cities, they had to pay their way. Despite the fact that BLM was claiming all this money and claiming that they were flying activists around, some of the families had to pay their own way to these different cities where protests were happening because BLM wouldn't cover their expenses.
Disgusting, mate. The whole thing is so gross.
It's really, really hideous.
I really,
like,
hope this Patrice lady gets.
I doubt it. She's being invited to the Met Gala, darling. She's a liberal darling now.
You can buy a ticket for that shit.
She's a liberal darling now. No, no, no. She's going to write books. She's going to go on Oprah.
She's got to go to jail, dude.
No, dude. She's going to go. She's going to go on Oprah. She's going to write books. She's going to rub shoulders with AOC.
Although she should go to jail, it's not okay. She should suffer some serious actual,
I mean, a
like,
lot, but the argument is like a lot of people do worse things. A lot of people should go to jail or whatever. Like,
hey, a lot of crypto scammers
are
going
but
away.
That,
how is it any different?
But that in their mind, that's in the mind of these sort of like liberal aspirants. That's what they think. They're like, it's okay if I'm doing this fucked up shit because it's justice at the end of the day. My people have suffered and I have suffered.
So
and therefore,
I got all the reparations,
like,
just
yeah,
for me.
But it's like the Jesse Smollett. It's
like,
the,
no?
No, but it's like the Jesse Smollett thing. Patrice Cullors came out to defend Jesse Smollett. Even she came out from her hibernation. She hadn't spoken much, you know, during her isolation after the fucking 3 million shopping spree came out. But she emerged to defend Jesse, though. She was neck caping for Jesse when no one else was. And it's because she sees herself in him. In his mind, he's like, yeah, I fucking lied for clout, but I'm a black man at the end of the day, and white people have done much worse, so let me off. And that's the rationale. That's the reason why she came out to defend him, too. Because it's the idea that white people have gotten away with so much in America, so why not? Why can't I grab my piece of the pie by any means necessary? And a lot of white people who are like on the left are lenient in that way because they're like, yeah, fuck it, why not? Why not? That's their whole thing.
No, sorry, and that's a slippery slope for society, bro.
That's what I'm saying. That's the reason a slippery fucking slope. They think people like us are just kind of like,
it's not white people, it's the elite.
That we're bitter and that we want to specifically punish black people because we're not. We hold them to the same standard as we would anyone else. That's the whole thing. Like, I have a universalist attitude. And I understand that we live in a world that is unfair and that things are weighted in a certain way. But if we start to make concessions for evil, it only grows and becomes more insidious. It's not, oh, let's try and make it good for everyone. It's no, let's just kind of make more concessions for more antisocial behavior. Let's make more concessions for evil. It's just going to end up hurting everyone even more. And that's the major, like, kind of philosophical issue I have with this shit.
I hope nobody gave substantial money donate. I hope it was all like
people
like
did, and it was little, mostly corporate. Like, it was little donations, but there were big ones.
And then
but
the
it was
big
mostly
ones from like Nike or whatever.
No,
like,
but it was
sure,
mostly corporations.
Was
like the bulk of the money that BLM raised during that period was money, guilt money from Silicon Valley.
Yeah,
guilt money from all kinds of different
fashion
places.
Brands. Like you name it, every fucking company was doing some kind of fucking.
Because it worked for them, it looked good for them to attach their brand to anti-racism.
Well, yeah,
during
it,
that period where the whole racial reckoning, the awakening was going on.
Well, because there's also that fucking credit rating that they also fucking get for being fucking progressive and all the fucking
rest
of it.
It's like the perfect, it was like the perfect shakedown. It was the perfect like shakedown grift because you had all these companies that didn't want to look racist, didn't want to look like they were in proximity to racism, and the easiest way for them to signal that was by donating money to this organization. It was like the perfect grift. It was the perfect fucking grift.
And you all I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you grieving mothers and everyone I've ripped off.
Look, I literally don't think anything is gonna come of it.
It's such
in
a
all
dumb
honesty.
Argument, man. Like,
I don't think anything's gonna come of it in all honesty. Like, I think that literally it will be swept under the rug just like many other things have been swept under the rug.
I'm sorry, but that attitude is so dumb. Like, some white people in the past have gotten away with bad things because they're
like
in
the
positions
OJ
of
Simpson
power.
Thing.
So, I'm just going to do heinous shit on purpose because why not?
But it's
that's
like the
what
OJ
we're all
it's
doing.
It's
that's
the
like,
OJ Simpson
we can't
thing.
All just live our fucking lives
it's
like
the OJ
that.
Simpson
because it would
thing.
Be a fucking hellscape.
But the reason why is because in order to get rid of this toxic attitude, you'd actually have to readdress injustice. And instead of addressing injustice, why don't we just let more people get away with more bad things? That's what it is. The OJ Simpson thing was a thing. It was like, oh, but you know, this is a prominent black man and prominent white men get away with. That's what they always say.
With
the Bill
murder?
Cosby. Bill Cosby shit. Yes.
JFK got away with murder.
But
he was
saying.
A fucking president.
But that's what I'm saying. Well, they
he
say,
also
kind of
got
say.
It coming.
They say president. So, that's what they know. Say. They say prominent white men get away with it all the time. So why can't we let a black man get away with it too? There's always this tendency to shroud and shield antisocial behavior when it happens in the black community because it's like, well, we've suffered, so we deserve like a break, more of a break than anyone else. So instead of the social attitude to be towards, hey, why don't we actually address injustice? Why don't we actually address injustice everywhere we see it and do our best to like make things more fair and equal? Why don't we just like let more black people get away with more bad shit instead?
I was about to say, I can't think of an example where a white celebrity has killed someone and it was a publicly known, not like a secret assassination or something, like shit from like some really wealthy, like Bill Gates figure or something.
Caitlyn
or some Jeffrey
Jenner.
Epstein. Well, you know, even not that, but like fucking Matthew Broderick, dude.
Yeah.
He like fucking ran that person over in Ireland or whatever and just hit and run, paid like a very small fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Caitlyn so Jenner, I guess it, the same thing.
It does happen, I guess. But I don't...
There's that one...
It's not... I don't think... It's not their whiteness. It's their celebrity. It's their status.
But it's the idea that because there are so few prominent black figures that reach the stratosphere of, you know, mainstream acclaim, when they fall... The black community takes it so much harder in that sense. So they're like, we should make concessions for this person because white people have get away more. But I think it's warped logic. I think it's horrible logic because we should be looking to increase the good instead of just like make permission for more evil to occur based upon these like ridiculous like lines. But that's really the logic that's going on in the back of their heads when they defend Smollett or when they leap to defend Black Lives Matter. Despite evidence continuing to mount to the contrary.
Or O.J. Simpson.
Every fucking week.
I don't think many people are trying to defend O.J. Simpson.
You'd be surprised.
So.
My mom is still like beaten that because she was in America during that time.
He didn't do it. No
she way. Went to she went to Rutgers in the 80s. She was in America in the 80s. She went to Rutgers in the 80s. That was the university she went to.
Didn't you see the glove? It did not fit.
Your Nigerian auntie voice is not good.
It's okay. I'm working on it.
You're workshopping
I get lots of input from all the, you know, background with you and your family.
Oh
so
my
I
God.
Can refine the character.
We saw my new nephew this weekend, which was really sweet.
We did. It was very cute.
He's a tiny little bean. He's 7 weeks old now.
Yeah.
It's still like he's still in his like little delicate baby stage where I'm like scared to hold him because I'm like fuck.
Why do people say that? Why do they say the weeks?
What do you mean?
Well, he's 7. Why is he's 2 months old?
No,
it's he's
weeks.
Basically 2 months old. He's
it's
two
because
months old.
When they're small like that,
every week must be
yeah,
counted.
Yeah, because they grow so quickly. Like if so you look if you, at a baby from 3 weeks to 7 weeks, there's like a huge change there.
Yeah, but that's also like 1 month to 2 months. Do you know what I mean? Like, why aren't we? And that's like a more normal. I don't know. You don't even refer to someone's like, age in months, but at least until they're one, you could do it in months because there's not as you don't have to be like he's 27 weeks. And
yeah,
you're
but
like,
there
okay.
Yeah,
well,
but
now
there
I've got to do fucking math,
no,
dude.
My,
so what
I do months,
the fuck
but
is
there are
going
some,
on?
Yeah, there's some weird moms that like the type of moms that
some
like,
of them
through.
Do it beyond like a year.
Oh, that's dumb.
That's fucking weird.
That's just being difficult. That's like the type of mom that would give their kids like Munchausens or some shit. Like
he's like
psycho mom.
49 weeks. You're like. There's 30 something weeks in a year. So what the why would you do that to someone? And well, you're instantly like
but
what
I know,
the fuck
I
is
get
that?
It when they're like really small like that because like the weeks do count like that
fair
early because they do are growing and developing at a really quick rate. And he looks like he's about 3. He's a big baby. He looks like he's like 3 months and he's like super alert. Is it just these like Zoomer babies? Are they like, do they have like space powers?
I'm not familiar enough with babies to look at him and go, he looks like he should be a month older than he is.
Wait, didn't you like babysit your little cousins or anything like that?
No, dude.
I don't know. In like Nigerian families, especially because I'm a girl.
Oh, yeah.
You're
just lumped with the little ones.
With the little ones. So you have to like, I know like quite a bit about babies.
My sister liked to run off and like look after little cousins and all that sort of thing. I didn't really.
You didn't? You weren't charmed by them?
No, I was sort of like trying to interact with them when they could do anything that was of like beyond like coloring books or fucking, you know, basic kiddie shit.
If we had a kid, like you would just like ignore him up until he's like ready to chuck a spear, like caveman style.
Just like put a controller in his hand. He was like, can you get it? Do your thumbs fit? You get it. Let's go. All right. We can hang out.
No, ew. You do realize he's going to be shit at video games for at least the first 10 years
of
his life.
My ego is going to go through the roof.
You're
there,
terrible.
Like, oh, 12-0 again, Billy, on FIFA. You gotta get better, mate.
That's
come on.
Evil.
His little hands can't even reach the joysticks properly.
I literally saw you do that with my little cousins.
Well,
they're
like 10, 11 years old.
No.
And by that point, you're like,
no.
You know, oh, no, one of them's like 13 or 12,
no,
and one of them was
like
11.
Tay-Tay's like 11.
Yeah.
No, Lasha's 11 and Tay-Tay was like maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And you were playing fucking Smash Bros with them and like beating them to oblivion. And it's like, you need to let them fucking win.
I let them win sometimes, but then you've got to be like, well, you know, there's also a pecking order, isn't there, everyone?
Oh my God.
Let's show you some advanced techniques. And
that's
then
so awful.
When I'm gone, you'll be there like trying to do all that shit and beating each other and getting better and stuff.
No,
you know?
Dude, that's so terrible that you're like, yeah, I'm going to smash this 10-year-old.
You could see the competitiveness in the oldest one, which is why I did it. You see him like trying so hard, and like
and you wanted to crush his soul.
I didn't want
to
crush his soul.
What the fuck's
but I was just like,
but
just like, hey man, you're really trying, and I feel like if I'm not trying, then I'm kind of disrespecting you. So I've got to at least give you an average go.
It's so different with like boys and girls. Like with boys, when they interact with older boys, it's all about competition.
Wouldn't that piss you off?
But with little girls,
wait. Wouldn't that really piss you off?
What?
If you were trying your absolute hardest to beat me at something,
many times that's happened,
and I was literally there taking it easy. But still, like, you were trying so hard.
But that's happened many times when we've played, like, Tekken or, like, Mortal Kombat. And I've, like, beat you and I feel so good. And I'm like, oh my God. And you're like, yo, I was, like, on easy mode. I wasn't doing my, like, fucking, and I feel deflated.
Exactly. So isn't it better to go, oh shit, I'm playing against, he's playing
but when
against
you're
me.
Against an like, adult, yeah, but not against a kid.
No, my brother, that's not how it was with my brothers, mate. Definitely not.
They just dominate.
And I'm an age gap between probably the oldest one that's similar to me and Christian.
How old is Christian? Like 35?
He's like 8 years older than me.
So yeah, you were getting dominated pretty hard.
Yeah. Yeah. FIFA, mate. Dude, that's how I got my FIFA Tekken up so hard against all of my fucking other people that were my age. I kicked ass because I was just like fucking playing against like adults almost. You know, so it raises your level, and then they'll go and play Smash Bros against all the people in their school, and they'll be like, holy shit, dude, what happened to you this Christmas? You're fucking ridiculous at Smash Bros now. Play,
mate. I guess, but with little girls it's not really competition, it's more like they want to be a big girl like you.
Yeah.
And they want to prove to you that they're like a big girl too, and that they know all the big girl stuff and all the big girl secrets, and that they're smart and wise beyond their years. And I used to be like that when I was a little girl, because I was like...
Used to.
You think I'm still like that?
No, I'm joking.
You still think I'm like, I'm a big girl.
I'm teasing.
I do feel that way still a little bit. But when I was little, it was worse. Like, I mostly hung around with like older kids, and I was like, yeah, I'm like worldly. I know bad words. I know bad things or whatever. That's how it normally is with girls. But with boys, it's like smashing each other and like competition and shit, which just sounds tedious. I'm glad I'm not a boy.
No, competition is good.
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't know. Can't be bothered. Anyway, it was lovely talking to you folks this week on this like very long, psychedelic, rambly journey. We hope that you've enjoyed us. But if you want even more of us, if you're not sick of us already, if you don't just want to throw the phone across the room and turn us off, we do have bonus episodes on Patreon that you can check out. We also have our Cosmic Trigger Book Club episodes up as well, which you can check out. You can also join our Discord by joining our Patreon. And $5 a month gets you access to all of this great shit. So feel free to support us if you would like to. Thanks for listening to this episode. See you later. Bye.
Bye.